I'm Dave Mays, and this is Collect Call with Suge Knight. What you're about to hear are conversations, raw and uncut, with the legendary founder of Death Row Records. He's currently serving a 28-year sentence in California State Prison. His honesty, vulnerability, and current state of mind will all be heard in this groundbreaking podcast series, featuring conversations with me and many other guests who have agreed to accept Suge's Collect Call. Suge will be putting periods to all question marks while answering everything hip-hop fans worldwide want to know. History will be made and documented in real time each week on Collect Call with Suge Knight. Suge and I both want to hear from you, so if you have any questions or input, please be sure to contact us at Breakbeat Media, authentically hip-hop. Welcome to Collect Call with Suge Knight.
Hello.
This is Global Tel Link. You have a prepaid call from
Suge Knight.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded. To accept this call, dial 5 now.
First of all, shit, I see you taking my collect calls, huh? Man, it's good hearing you. You know, we go way back. We got a lot of history.
Oh, man.
But you know, man, I think it's nothing better than 50 years of hip-hop. And the culture is so important to all of us.
Right.
I mean, the people from back then to now, even the future. And it's like, we just have to really, really work hard to get somewhere back in the day.
Hmm.
You know, we have to work hard for everything we got. Now things seem like a little simpler, a little easier. And you get a lot of people involved who wasn't involved in the industry.
Right.
And everybody want to, every time you turn around, everybody want to spread some lies or some shit. Not that it bothers me, but at some point, we got to do better to get better overall. And what I mean by that, I know last time I talked to you, you was asking me about a few individuals and a few people going out their way to say stuff. And, you know, I want to get it out the way and not make it a thing that a constant conversation about it, because it's like it's people that say they're from my neighborhood, they really weren't from my neighborhood. Like, we got a dude named James, and he speak on with Reggie all the time, and he said he was a day one, definitely wasn't day one, definitely didn't go to school with us. And the reason why a lot of people didn't go to school, because back in those days it was way more Crips than it was Power Road. You can go and stand on your own, but you have to really be able to stand on your own. And, you know, for James to make all these allegations about he couldn't go to elementary school because the Crips was going to come to school and get him, he was a Crip, number one. Number two, Crips didn't come in my neighborhood and do that type of shit. Everybody stood their own, hung on their own. And, you know, I could see his bitterness because, you know, they lived in a garage with no running water on drugs. And but the thing that gets me the most, people want to say something about Pac. Don't think Tupac was soft. Tupac was a punk. Tupac wasn't from the hood. I think Pac did more for my neighborhood than mostly a whole bunch of people in that neighborhood.
All I do is rap and talk loud. My biggest crime is talking loud.
For it, doing stuff with the kids, coming to see the kids, giving the kids money, handing out toys with the kids with me, going to the elementary schools, for his, just standing up. I mean, I hate to be in a situation where you got to bring up old shit. Come on, James, you know the truth. It was in my house. Well, you never been in my house, but outside, me and Bunchery, which is my road dog, and you said we got into it before. That never happened. Bunchery wouldn't go against me for nobody. And I wouldn't let nobody put their motherfucking hands on me. Yeah, that's my dog. He lives always, you know? And, you know, I remember when James was on one of the drunk benches, and Pac put him on his pockets. And when Pac put him on his pockets, he was like, Bunchy, look what he did. And Bunchy was like, oh, man, we're going to start calling you Mob Jamie, you know? But I ain't gonna get into the details of all that, because I ain't gonna get to going back and forth, because at the end of the day, it's not about a lie you said, it's what you accomplish in life. If you never accomplish nothing, you don't deserve to talk. And Reg, and you know, it's broadcasting some bullshit when they be talking that negative shit. And Reg, you know, I love your mother. She's a great lady. You sitting on there with James, and James talking about he got the 6'4". That 6'4" you talking about, it's the one I painted white with one of DMX's favorite dogs on the back with the red guts. And then it finished paying me all my money, but I sent that shit to motherfucking Leo and Russell, a weird ass, you know? So all that little extra shit, that's nothing. But that's enough of that. But the other thing is that I feel this too is Akon. Look here, boy. Let me explain this to you. Let's tell the truth.
Now, were you there when it happened?
I was there on all four approaches.
So you're saying Suge approached you three other times?
Oh, yeah. Me and Suge, we was always going back and forth. Always.
Over what?
I wouldn't have brought it up, but since you're going to bring it up and say what it was all about, let's tell the real truth.
You know Suge.
Yeah. Some producer.
Trying to get the toll.
And one of my homegirls, she was a hustler. She had a little sister, 13 years old. Her best friend was 12 years old.
From what I heard, there was a producer that Suge was representing.
It was a kid named Detail who I signed.
Detail, exactly.
Right.
She in the car with him. You and Detail called her. She said, I got my little sister and her best friend with me. I said, well, let's stop by for a second. She go by y'all hotel, in y'all room, she get a call. The dude was at the hotel she met when she was coming to see you motherfuckers. He said, come by, that's for 20 minutes. She said, I can't do it right now. I gotta take my little sisters home and her friend. I'll be back in an hour. He said, come by 20 minutes. I got a big payday for you. You, Akon, said, go ahead. You can leave your little sister and her friend right here. We're ordering them something to eat. She go up to the next room, gonna come back in 20 minutes. She said she come back about 35 minutes. When she get back in the room, her little sister and her other little girl don't want to eat. They look scared, they crying. When she get in the car with them, they tell them, Akon, you fucked the little girl 13, Detail fucked the little girl 12 years old. Y'all basically raped her. So when she told me, I pull up on her, she said she going to the police to put you motherfuckers in jail for rape. I said, nah, we don't do the telling on the police. Motherfucker, deal with it. I promise you that. So I was trying to catch you motherfuckers about that situation.
So Josh said, yo, we can go to the bathroom if we could fight, if that's what you want to do. And he said, at that point, Suge was like, motherfucker, I don't fight. I'll have your mother killed. You know, I'll have your whole family killed. I'll have... And Josh said he just had enough at that point.
Now, you want to turn around and act like, oh, one of your homeboys knocked me out. Well, that didn't happen. Yeah, nigga swung. That ain't shit. I get there, get at y'all. I'm with my girl and a bitch. Y'all got about 20 motherfuckers with you. Akon, you went and got the police. The police got on me. Nobody said nothing until the police got there. He swung. The police tased me like I had all kind of shit. They took forever to get the shit off me. All in the wire tased and shit. I didn't trip. No harm, no foul. I didn't say shit. You shouldn't say shit. I tell you, I need to holler at him and holler at you. Y'all playing these games with ducking. They tell me, y'all up there with Chris Brown. I pull up there with a bitch. It's 20 of you motherfuckers. I get out. I holler at nephew. Tell him I'll catch him later. Fired on your motherfucking brother. Chipped his motherfucking tooth. He fell to the ground. Get up running. Take off running. And the rest of y'all ran. That's the end of that. So a chomo ass motherfucker, don't get to putting off stories and you know the truth. But at the end of the day, that's like weirdo shit. I'm more important about, if I'm gonna be talking where, number one, I'm in prison. I'm doing motherfucking time. Since I'm doing time, you know, I feel I can give back anywhere I can. The second thing, don't speak on my mother. Reg, you know, and one thing about my family, I come from a big-ass family. My bitches got money. Shit, I could have sold one car. My mother had money before she passed away. Injured. So when somebody say they want to help out and pay for a funeral and contribute, nobody don't ask them the next motherfucker. If they volunteer, oh well, because a lot of motherfuckers calling saying, what could they do? So whack, we ain't going to get into all that bullshit you talking. You know, we ain't going to get into no pissing contest. We already know the real on that shit.
So you saying you ain't got the money to bury your mother? He like, I'm a little short. How short? He like, I'm tapped out.
Secondly, but at the same time, I ain't finna argue with you. When I get there, I get there.
My company, Fifth Amendment Entertainment, paid for his mother's funeral, which is me.
But at the end of the day, don't sit up there and lie and say I rolled up some off some motherfucking yard and I couldn't be on the line. That ain't true. Motherfucking check my C files, anything and everything about me. One thing about it, my being a high notoriety and high profile person, it seems they put certain people on certain yards. It's actually easier on the line for me than being on this yard. I refused when I first got here, so I was in a hole. But I'm not gonna stay in a hole when you locked up 23 hours a day, you can't get no radio, can't have no TV, can't have no fan, can't have no hot pot, can't get no taxes, can't no, you only can spend a little money on canteen, can't really get canteen. What I wanna torture my motherfucking self every day for, which I had nothing to prove. Now you wanna be this big bad motherfucking pound on your chest? One of your homeboys on the same yard. At the same time, he had to get lifted in a helicopter. He got stabbed too many times. He damn near died. Still ain't the same. But it's not here or there pointing the finger at motherfuckers. I think the most important thing that we all need to understand is that if you got a platform to speak on something, either we can do some good and help each other, or we can keep the motherfucking bottom of the barrel. I came from where it started. From day one, it was hard to be in this industry. Well, to the point where I'm the first one told people about your masters. When I was telling people about masters, they said, what is that? I ain't no slave. People didn't even know what it was to own your masters, too. I made sure I owned my masters. At the same time, when I got in this business, rap music, hip-hop, whatever you want to call it, was getting 5% radio play. If they got 10%, they was popping champagne bottles. They said that wouldn't happen. I went from 95% of my stuff on the radio, either on Death Row or somebody I was managing, to 97% on the radio was my shit. So that's history. But at the same time, these motherfuckers some bad motherfuckers, and I appreciate them.
You know, like we've been talking about this podcast business is going crazy. Podcast is like the next form of media that's going to take over. And so as you know, a couple of years ago, I decided to create Breakbeat as the first hip hop podcast network. And, you know, what I'm seeing is an opportunity to build a platform for hip hop, something similar to what The Source did back in the day, where The Source was the Bible of hip hop. The Source provided
Definitely.
A space.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we provided a space where the truth could be told from our perspective, from our culture in an authentic way. You know, I was able to help bring hip hop from that underground place that we were in more into the mainstream, but still keep the authenticity there. And I think over the years, a lot of that has been lost as the media has changed. Obviously, magazines have gone, you know, by the wayside. And now you got all, you know, from the internet to social media to everything that's going on today. So to me, there's a void, there's a need for us to build a platform that can represent the hip hop community across the generations. Because one of the things they've done is divided us, the younger and the older sides of hip hop. They pitted us against each other with the narratives, oh, you know, this mumble rap isn't real hip hop and back and forth. but we got way more in common. Even if somebody that's 50 years old don't necessarily like the music that's being made today, hip hop is a culture. It's a mindset, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we experience what's going on in this world. We have so much more in common. So that's why I'm trying to build Breakbeat. We're off to a great start with people like Don't Call Me White Girl and Bill Bellamy and Funny Marco, Bubba Dub and Chris with Trappin' Anonymous. And we're gonna take it to a whole nother level now with me and you getting together to build this Collect Calls platform, man. So I think this is gonna be, you know, historic and important, man. So I really appreciate you, you know.
Hey, Dave, you know, I'm happy you saying that because one person or one group is not bigger than hip hop.
Right.
Or they own hip hop. Hip hop is everyone. And we had some incredible times and we did what we did, you know, late 80s, the 90s, early 2000s, right? But you still got people still in the game doing well and they deserve their cigars, you know? It's just like NBA Youngboy. Man, I like that little young motherfucker. He deserves his cigar. He talks shit about that life. He, you know, he marched to his own motherfucking beat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you, when you look at it, I mean, even shit, even Drake, he going out, he's selling out at his concerts and shit, which is a big plus. But, you know, I think the industry is controlled by the baddest bitches in the world. The females got that shit on lock. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the women, they came such a long way and they're really, really strong. They're not in the shadows of a man. They leading the way. I think Cardi B is incredible. That's probably one of the biggest stars in the industry and a great businesswoman that leads the way. Then when you look at it, shit, those cats.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
She's such a big ass star. It's nothing she can't do and be successful with. And when you talk about the R&B tip, I don't know any of these people personally, but at the same time, Summer Walker and, you know, Lizzo and the other girl who did the song with Doja Cat, SZA or whatever, right?
SZA, yeah.
Yeah, she bad. These women going out there and they making it happen. And the young ones, man, it's like not knocking our time, but these young motherfuckers is coming in owning what the fuck they want to do. Not only is they owning what the fuck they want to do, they looking like runway models, you know? Shit, back in the day, you see some R&B singers, and there was women or R&B rappers, not knocking them, and I don't shoot me, you know what I'm saying? Ball of ball, strike a strike. But we had women in the business that sound cool, you know, sounded good, rapped it good, but they was like the homegirls, you know? Now the women, they sound good, they look even better, and they ain't like the homegirls. Used to be a time where you had people who had couples in the industry, they would keep that on the low, you know what I mean? They didn't want nobody, they was fucking with a rapper or they were fucking with an R&B singer. Everything was like, you know, on the hush-hush. These new bitches so motherfucking pretty. The rappers and the singers and the people in the industry, they can't wait to get on social media and say, look who I got. Look who I'm dating. You know, they be stalking their wives and they women and their baby mamas because that's how bad these bitches are. They just don't sound good. They look good. And I ain't on no weirdo shit. You know, I'm content who I am with my age. I ain't trying to holler at them, nothing like that. I just give them their motherfucking their justice. They the one running the industry.
You know, with this new podcast we're going to launch here called Collect Call, I think it'd be a great platform to bring a lot of these people in to have conversations with you, because I think you have, you know, a lot of knowledge and insight from all your experiences over the years that you could share. And we're gonna find out. We're gonna see who's gonna take that collect call when it comes ringing going forward. But
hell yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it, Dave. You know, and that's what we both do, give back. And, you know, and at the same time, you still got a lot of good labels out there doing great shit. Stella's still doing great shit. You know what I mean? He's still out there doing his thing and his artists and stuff. And, hey, BG home.
Yes.
Let's celebrate that. You know what I mean?
Shout out to BG.
That's a great thing.
You got to get him on here.
Yeah, that's real big, you know?
That'd be a great conversation.
Man, that's bigger. That's nothing bigger than that. Let that man have his freedom. You know what I mean? And you know, I just think it's a time where it used to be a time I felt that certain things I wouldn't have a conversation about or conversation with certain people because I think they did things so fucked up. But at this time in my life, that like I said before, one person is not hip hop, and one person is not bigger than hip hop. Even myself, if I can do something to give back to hip hop to make it grow and be even better, that's a big plus. I just think that we got to be smart about this and enjoy each other's because we're all getting older. Tomorrow's not promised. And if it's that being said, let's not try to rewrite history. Let the truth be the truth. I'm not going to say this person wasn't a good rapper or this person wasn't a good businessman because we didn't hang out. If, you know, give them their cigar. They deserve their shit. I just don't want nobody trying to rewrite history. Don't go and say, they tell me extra one of these motherfuckers did an interview on YouTube. I'm going to start coming for those motherfuckers with that bullshit because don't say Michael Harris started Death Row. I had Death Row in the name before I met Dave Kenner.
Harris. Identifying himself as original organizer and owner, says his fortune launched Death Row Records.
David Kennedy wasn't even just to that motherfucker. But at the same time, I'm not gonna lie about the shit. When I started Death Row, I wanted to be Death Row. Like the Death Row prison. With the man in the chair. I was talking to a dude named Unknown. Unknown and Skip had MC8. They was his producers. I wanted to get this group called out of Texas, Bad as a Motherfucker, 3-2 and Big Mike. Rest in peace, 3-2. So I tell Unknown about Death Row. He said, man, I got Death Row too. So when I went to, you know, Dick Griffey laced me and helped me a lot. Dirge Roberts was his attorney, he was a bad motherfucker. So I said, hey, man, I'm doing this Death Row thing. This dude said he got Death Row, but he is spelled like Death Jam. But it's Death Row. But mine is spelled like the Death Row, like the real Death Row St. Quentin. They said, yeah, but they're similar, so you got to get his out the way and only keep yours. So I gave Unknown $10,000 to buy his corporation of Death Row. Once I bought it, put it in my name, I got rid of it, and let's use Death Row. My little homie, loving more than missing me every day, Hen Dog, is the one drew the man in the chair, Death Row. Rest in peace. So all this other little shit, Mike getting up there saying, oh, he had the name Death Row, that's a motherfucking lie. Snoop, you know the truth, don't be playing these games. That's all I'm gonna say. Secondly, they investigated me for money laundering, racketeering, everything you can think of. Went all through my accounts ever. Nobody never gave me no bread. But at the same time, Mike, you get on these things with extra, whatever they fuck is, they're going to get sued for slander in a minute, start coming from their ass aggressively and say that you gave me some real estate money, you sold it, gave me a check. Produce the check. And if you know it ain't no check, I know it ain't no check. I'm talking about Michael Harris did an interview, said he gave me a check. Produce the check. And if you can't produce the checks, set that bitch ass shit up. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, there's no way to lose my company. They committed fraud against me. And the people committed fraud, they still didn't do nothing to settle. And on top of that, I gave them money to settle it. Y'all friend gave my money back. So if I want to be petty and sue, I can. But more importantly, one thing you can't do is commit fraud. If you commit fraud against Pepsi Cola, motherfucking Warner Brothers or Sony, they'll pay your ass back and have to give you your shit. Then because I'm a black man from Compton that started my shit, you won't overlook it, but I got real lawyers now. So I will get my shit back, 1,000%. Let's not start going and saying somebody had it. We all know nobody bought it, nobody had it. But that's neither here nor there. Lay off the gas. Because if we're going to start, once I put the facts out there, it's going to look bad. And that's like this. I'm not intimidated by nobody. I don't got to try to stop nobody from doing shit. Now, it was a black man got this company who funds money to another black man. They wanted to do some business with me. They do documentaries and little movies that they're trying to do. And they said, well, we can't do it because we talking to Snoop, we talking to Mike, and they cleans up money. So we're going to do it on a documentary on Mayweather. We're going to do a documentary on a few basketball players, but we're not going to talk with the real Death Row, the only Death Row, or Suge Knight, because we friends with them. You can be like that. I'm not tripping. I didn't go to you, motherfuckers. Y'all mentioned it to me. But at the same time, when you start picking sides, stick to your side. It's easy to be down when they're in a war. Or should I say you need to be a soldier when they're in a war? The second thing I want to clear up is that he sit up there and say he came to visit me in prison. I just heard this.
I met with Suge Knight and said, look, man, what you want for Snoop?
He gave me a couple of bucks, $2 million, which I never would have took no shit like that for Snoop.
What was the number?
It was a couple mil.
I got a whole list of anybody ever visited me. You got to be approved. That nigga's name on the, is not on none of it. Needed to give me anything. And the paperwork is what the paperwork says. And I did a deal with Brian Turner at Party Records and loaned Snoop services to Party and gave him the right to loan it to No Limit. For his pot, that's a touchy situation. That's my little brother, love him still today. He never wanted to leave Death Row. He wasn't fucking with you niggas. Warren G, that's top line. You didn't fuck with Pac, and Pac didn't fuck with...
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
You didn't write your album. All my artists who signed to my publishing wrote your album. Let's keep this shit 1,000. On top of that, you can take care of yourself. How are you going to get Pac out of prison?
I told Rich, I said, you tell Tupac I'm going to bail his ass out.
Oh, wow.
I felt for him. You know, that shit was fucked up.
Yeah.
Got beat to the punch.
Everybody all of a sudden they want to get Pac out of prison. But all these people saying they love Pac, they was going to get him out of prison, they was going to help him, they was going to do all this. Pac got a star. If Kobe get a award or something or a statue, I guarantee you Lakers and everybody else going to come out. So if they really was friends with Pac and they was Pac homies, why they weren't there?
Yeah.
Because at the end, everybody know the truth. The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
So let's not play these motherfucking games. These people ain't never met. I mean, you know, come on. But like I said, we're not going to get into all the details of the bullshit. That can go on forever. I think it'd be good to be able to grow and help each other in this industry. I don't need nothing from nobody. I ain't looking for nothing for someone. But if I can tell you my story and tell you my mistakes, you don't have to make your mistakes. I think everybody
should, you have 60 seconds remaining.
Should be bigger than Death Row or with me and Pac accomplished. Because Pac the one took it to the next level.
This is going to be a great way to, you know, document the history of a lot of things, important things in hip hop, accurately for once and for all. And also for today's generation to get to know you better, because a lot of people, you know, have a very kind of one-sided perception of who you are. And, you know, me and you have been knowing each other over 30 years. Always, you know, work well together, and I always had a tremendous amount of respect for the business side of things that you brought to the table.
Hey, Dave, you my brother, man. We go back like a motherfucker. We go back like Crocusacks. You know what I mean? Hey, but this is the thing, Dave. Oh, also want to give a big shout out to Lil Fleet. That's a bad motherfucker. That's a new motherfucker on the ride. Young dude.